afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Gary Lucy.
Matt Belknap here.
And today, guys, we have five mics in action.
Yeah.
Normally we have three. Usually if we have a guest, we have four mics, but today we have five mics in action because we have two gentlemen to my left. One guy is Jack Hughes and the other guy is Nick Feldman.
Known collectively as...
Wang Chung. Everybody,
Wang Chung in the house, everybody. So exciting. Pat, right off the bat, I got to tell you this story.
Is this a Wang Chung story?
Yeah, just to let you know.
I thought we were going to supposed to tell you.
Well, you guys will get a chance. But just to let you know what kind of level that we're dealing with here, this is actually a story about history.
Okay.
And this is back in late 19th century France.
All right.
There was this big scandal called the Dreyfus Affair, and it was about this soldier got thrown in jail for war crimes. It was like he was Jewish, it was anti-Semitic thing, and then the great writer Emil Zola wrote this letter, a very famous letter to the president, is published in the paper, caused a scandal, got this guy freed, and the name of the letter was J'accuse, which means I accuse you. And a young lad in England in the 70s said, Jack Hughes? Jack Hughes. That could be my punk rock name. Dude, hats off. That is the coolest.
That's a great
back
name.
Then, we're Johnny Rotten, Sid Vicious, Rat Scabies. Those were the punk rock names. Yeah. Jack Hughes.
Jack Hughes.
That's awesome.
But it's my fault, actually, that he was called Jack Hughes. Because he wrote a song called I'm Jack Hughes.
Oh, okay.
And coming from the place he was talking about.
You're Jack Hughes then. Yeah.
And what was your name before you changed it to Nick Feldman?
I was Dreyfus.
No, you were Dreyfus.
I went on to star in Jaws. No, I was Nick DeSpeak for a while.
Oh, really?
DeSpeak, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, I did see that in the bio. Yeah. And now, you guys got together in 77, 78.
Mm-hmm.
During the punk rock explosion,
yes.
Everybody's having bands, but you don't associate yourself. You guys have known for your more smoother, sophisticated sound. When you first got together in those early groups, was it a little more angry, loud? And
I mean, I met Nick through a Melody Maker in ad. You know,
sure.
Melody Maker being a big music paper, and the stuff he was doing was really pretty angry and crazy. And I remember the first gig we did, we sort of got about half an hour into it, and I just stopped playing. I thought, it really doesn't make much difference whether I play or not.
Wow, good choice.
I went and had a beer and stuff, and then came back and did the last song with them.
I remember that gig of one of your friends, because I kept putting my drink on the front of the stage, sort of sip it in between my alcoholic drink. And your friend was just walking around the whole venue, just picking up any drink he could
any
find,
drink and
including mine, and just drinking it.
That's a very sophisticated friend.
And so, did you guys meet at school? Well, you met in through the Melody Maker,
yeah.
But were you kind of in with the? There must have been bands everywhere at the time.
There were a lot of bands, yeah, and it was exploding in London, certainly. And we just met through that thing and that advert. And I think there is a sort of affinity, you know, back then when you talk about the sophistication, for want of a better word, you know, yeah. Nick was writing these punk songs, but they did have these really weird chords in them, sort of jazz chords, really, you know.
Nice.
And I think the reason I got the gig was partly because that didn't faze me particularly. All the other guys,
yeah. I devised this kind of really complicated chord sequence for the, yeah. the prospective guitar players to perform. And none of them could get their head around it at all, but Jack just sort of rattled it off in about 1 second, so I thought he's definitely the one.
It was meant to be.
And did you guys hit it off immediately? Did you just click?
Yeah, I think we did, actually. Yeah,
musically, yeah. And sense of humor and all that stuff.
All of that good stuff, yeah.
And Jack, your wife is here.
She is.
Who have you been with longer, your wife or this gentleman?
Nick.
Okay.
That's cool.
Do you get jealous?
No.
Do they have inside jokes that you still don't know about?
No,
I mean, I know the whole history.
Okay, great.
I'm too much part of their life.
Okay, very nice.
I'm the one who gets jealous. Oh.
Now, who are some of the groups that you guys were playing around with then that our listeners might know about? Like, who was in part of your graduating class of those times?
When I met Jack, or just before I met Jack, I'd been an agent, you know, so I'd got thrown out of university. And I came down to London and thought, I better get into the industry. So I managed to blag my way into a job as an agent.
Oh, nice.
And that was just when punk was starting to break. So I sort of discovered Adam and the Ants, actually.
You're kidding me.
Neat. And I used to get them gigs and stuff in the early days. And I also booked out The Clash for about £10.
Oh, no kidding.
Nice.
So it was all really exciting times. But the agency I was working for just didn't get punk. They just thought, it's not real music. And I just thought, I can't stand this anymore. And I just left. And that's when, you know, we met through the ad. And that's when it all started. Mm. But it was a very exciting time in London.
Yeah.
That's when punk was really breaking, you know.
And our contemporaries, I guess, we played with all sorts of bands. We played with U2 when they were third on the bill at some festival.
Wow.
We did a tour with the Human League when they had first released Dare.
Yeah,
so I remember doing sort of, you know, Sheffield and Scotland and stuff like that with them, and that was really exciting.
Our first, our previous band was called 57 Men, and that was that spawned three different 80s bands. Mm-hmm. There was Wang Chung came out of that band. Lee Gorman was on bass, and he went on to join Adam and the Ants, and then Bow Wow Wow.
Cool.
And the singer was Glenn Gregory, who went on to form Heaven 17.
Yes.
And there weren't actually 57 men in the band.
It sounded like it.
On were suing for false advertising.
But we played our first gig we did, I think about the only gig we did, was this place in Basildon in Essex.
Yeah.
And this little very young band was supporting us. And they were called Depeche Mode.
Oh,
and it was their first gig.
Never amazing. Heard of them.
Wow.
Let me, here's what's funny about seeing you guys in person right now is your photos on the album, very serious. And you guys are here laughing and smiling. And why so somber in these band photos?
I never smile in photos.
You just don't.
Don't ever smile.
It's like a rap thing. Rappers never smile. Either,
yes, so. I know, that's true.
You're trying to look intelligent. But, you know, it's quite hard in our case.
So your first album, the spelling is different.
Yes.
It's H-U-A-N-G instead of W-A-N-G.
Uh-huh.
And I need to ask, what does Wang Chung mean?
Everybody has asked that.
Everybody
question.
Asked that. I know. I still have to ask it.
Managed to avoid asking.
Avoid it. Okay.
Avoid answering it. Yeah.
We'd have to kill you if we tell you.
Now, I've heard there was like kind of an onomatopoeia of a guitar sound.
Yeah, there was a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bit of, you know, sort of slightly cosmic Chinese thing going on. I mean, you can Google all this stuff and look it up.
I also read that, like, Wang Chung is like the first note on the Chinese musical scale.
Yeah,
and also means yellow.
That's bollocks. They just say that's bollocks.
Also means yellow bell.
Yeah, bollocks.
Bollocks.
I was in Hong Kong last October.
Right.
And we did meet some Chinese people. I said, so what does Wang Chung mean? They just were completely blank. They said, it doesn't really mean anything unless it has tone, because Chinese language is like, you know, or whatever, Wang Chung. Yeah. So I guess it means to them as well a number of different things, some of them quite rude, perhaps.
Yeah, it's a terrible insult in China. We can never go back there.
Yeah, a friend of mine this week told me, he goes, what it means when you strum down, it's Wang, and then when you strum up, it's Chung. I go, that's not it. That can't possibly be it. But so the first album comes out, and it doesn't do
great.
Great.
No, Arista had high expectations. Well, like all record companies do, they think
they all,
gonna,
yeah, well, sure.
Now, you know, the single's going to go smash and stuff, and it didn't really do that. But it did. I mean, the great benefit of talking to you now, 130 years later,
right,
is that you can see that it did have a sort of subtle impact over all sorts of different musicians.
Absolutely.
And stuff, you know. Mm. And it is quite cult, that record.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't. I would play something from it. I couldn't even. I was able to find everything except stuff from that.
Yeah,
or else I
interesting.
Would give people a taste.
I think you're sort of trying to get it re-released, actually.
Oh, yeah, with the digital age, get that on iTunes.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, what are we doing? You
know? But my son tells me that Trent Reznor is a big fan. He often named checks it in interviews.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
that's nice.
That does, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get a better compliment than a Trent Reznor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure
it's a good record.
Quite like everybody have fun tonight quite so much, but there we go.
So this is the point. Yeah, we would play something from one of the songs, but should we play probably the first thing that most people in America knew from early 84. Do you want to hear a little Dance Hall Days, and then we can come back?
I want to.
Yes. Let's hear something.
take your baby by the hand and make her do a handstand. And take your baby by the heel and do the next thing that you feel. We were so in phase in a dance hall days. We were cool on craze when I, you, and everyone we knew could believe, do, share in what was true. Oh, I said, that's all day's love.
Now, I remember so vividly hearing this when I was, I guess I was probably a sophomore at junior high school.
Yeah, me too.
And just like, you know, smooth sound, kind of like Roxy Music or something. I could understand that. And then it's kind of like has this reminiscing vibe back in these dance hall days. But then there's like a certain amount of like menacing quality. Like you're grabbing her wrist, you're grabbing her ankles, she's got tools in her mouth. Like,
yeah, it scares me a little bit. The lyrics scare me a little bit. And I like after all these years, Nick is still, you were grooving just to hearing it. I like
grooving,
that.
It's got a solid groove, but was that, what is all that stuff about ankle grabbing? And wrist grab. It's just free association, or was
well, my wife's here.
Yeah.
One interesting story about that record is that we did have a meeting with Quincy Jones on when he was doing Thriller, and they him and
what's this Thriller that you speak about?
You probably haven't heard
an obscure album.
Yeah. Trent Reznor loves it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But they were him and Michael were interested in doing Dance All Days. You know, but one of the things was he said, you know, can you change the lyrics? Because it's not really Michael's thing, you know.
Well, I'm glad you didn't.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. How bleached everything had to be for him.
Wow. Yeah. Yes.
let's just say that number one, U.S. dance.
Yes.
And number 16, U.S. pop for the dance hall days.
Awesome. It took a long time to sort of go up and come down. Yeah. So it was around for a long time.
And it's still around.
It's still around.
Let's play something else from Points on the Curve. Let's do a little deeper album cut. Let's hear Wait.
Oh, okay.
Love that song.
For a chance to get involved with love and space. This one seems as good as any I've seen. So wait it with me until 6:15. Waiting for you, but you're very late. I know you're going anyway, and I can hardly wait. Evidently, there's a difficulty. I know you're going anyway, and I can hardly wait.
The bass. That bass is great, Jack. Not Jack, Nick. Edit that out.
What the bass?
Don't edit the bass. Edit my mistake out. Mm. Did you always play bass like that? Like a dance groovy?
If I'm really honest with you, I didn't play that bass. That was programmed. But I play it live. I mean, that was all part. We were using a thing called the Fairlight.
I remember.
It was all the early days of sort of sampling and start on studio technology.
Well, so then in studio, did you program the bass?
We programmed it. And,
it's got his personality.
Exactly, my personality,
Wow. I'm going to say that's a rock solid exclusive.
In fact,
that's
what I'm going to say. You know, all the drums we sort of got on that record also and programmed too.
There's, and it's real, it's, you know, Wang Chung, we always see when we see pictures, it's always you two guys. I mean, there's other side musicians and stuff, but no drummer locked in for a long duration of time, really.
Well, there was in the on Points on the Curve, we had a drummer.
Yeah, yeah, his picture's
Darren.
On the, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Subtly also not smiling.
Severed from the rest of us, yeah.
We tried to stop him smiling. Yeah. Smiling.
Yeah. No, it's funny listening to that, because it's, you know, the technology at that time of Fairlights and stuff, it was very, very slow working with those things. It was hard to move things. Everything was on the grid, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Why didn't they just play it? Because
that's the sound back then.
Yeah,
true. It's like I think, you know, the styles of music, you know, everyone sort of thinks it's a fashion thing, but really it's to do with whatever technology was running the show at the time. And Fairlights, Glyn drum machines, that Lexicon Reverb, 224X thing. I mean, this is all technical stuff. Yeah. But those machines really are why those records sound like they sound.
Yeah, I remember, I'm a big Queen fan, and I remember every Queen album I would buy would always say no synthesizers, no synthesizers. And then all of a sudden, 1980, the game comes out and synthesizers.
But that's what we was trying to mix the two, you know, sounding sort of quite authentic sort of musicianship, but mixing it with synths and samplers and drum machines.
I love that mix of the organic and the robotic almost. It just feels very... It's an interesting hybrid, isn't it?
Yeah. We try and do that on the new album, Taser Up, as well.
Oh, excellent.
Sooner rather than later.
There is a new album, Taser Up. Do you want to talk about
Jack,
that?
There is a new album.
I'll tell you what, Jack, since you brought it up, let's hear something from Taser Up.
Sure.
Are you guys okay with hearing City of Light?
Yeah.
Let's hear City of Light.
Always a good starting point.
That song, the voice is definitely there, but I bet if you played that for people and said, who do you think that is, they probably wouldn't guess Wang Chung.
Maybe not.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe not. You haven't lost a step on the voice.
No, I'm still there.
And if we're being honest, I played bass on that song. Just so you know. But no, that sounds great, guys.
Great.
We open our set with that, actually.
Oh, that's a perfect show opener.
Yeah, it goes really well. People.
Really cranks to 11.
Taser Up with an exclamation point.
Yes.
I love that cover, too. That's really a cool cover.
It's neat, isn't it?
Keep listening and keep looking at our Facebook page and our Twitter to find out how you could win an autographed copy
of Taser Up. That's right.
Signed by both fellas.
So, and anytime you want to promote Taser Up, one of you guys just say, about Taser Up? And we'll just jump right back and play a song from it. But you guys
Taser Up?
Okay, let's...
I want to talk about Taser Up, a song called Abducted by the 80s.
Mm.
Which is that now you guys devoted your life to music, but for maybe the casual fan, you seem married to a certain era, you know, the 80s and stuff. Is that what that's about? Maybe, you know, you're continuing to grow, evolve as artists, make these things, but a lot of people think, oh yeah, that's a group from the 80s. Is that what that's about?
Well, we are forever associated with the 80s, which is great.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I agree. It was a great era of music.
Sure. You know,
I think it is abducted
by the 80s. My daughter was at university and she went to see this guy, Rob G, who's a sort of stand-up comedian slash poet. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he did was this poem called Abducted by the 80s.
Oh, wow.
She managed to get a recording of it and I sort of strung it together with a sort of piece of music I was working on, you know. But it resonates with both of us, I think, you know, the sense that, you know, in 83, 84, you know, when it all started taking off and then it sort of goes into the sort of cloudy sort of space and then we woke up with our pajamas on around the wrong way and sort of highway in Arizona somewhere.
But, and again, abducted by the 80s sounds much better than imprisoned by the 80s. You know. And I want to play one more
Let's
song.
Let's hear that one. We're talking about it. Let's hear about it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I was abducted by the 80s. I never saw them coming. I was on my way home one night at about 3 in the morning, minding my own business. When, bam, without warning, I was catapulted from scene to scene to the music from the A-Team. Dressed for all the world like a new romantic, feeling a twat and starting to look it with some pointy shiny shoes and a Mel Gibson-type mullet, landing from moment to moment like the bloke from Quantum Leap. Cocking every one of them up and changing our history to the one you now know. I shot JR and not whacking this one. My wrote a song for Europe to help you make your mind up and put spin with skin.
99 Red
Got fist and fit with Dan and Anthony. Shit, it's all my fault. I sold that Betamax video recorder and lived all the elections to my revenge to get revenge on the decade. Wrecked my adolescence.
A little history lesson.
Yeah, that is.
Very funny. Rob G.
Yeah.
That's great.
A lot of the references are kind of UK references from the 80s.
I heard Song of Europe, Roxy Music, then, you know, there's some A-Team in there. We got that.
There's a few.
99 Love Balloons.
Yeah.
I want to hear one more song off Point to the Curb, then we'll move on. We want to talk about working on the William Friedkin film, To Live and Die in L.A. But let's hear the other big song from Points on the Curb. It was also a number one U.S. dance hit, and it's called Don't Let Go.
Information. It's a day that turns the trains to York. And on the platform, I saw your hat form. A kind of halo in the crowd, crush talk. But baby, don't run away. Baby, oh, it's just today.
Now I never knew what you were saying on the background after, don't you leave me, don't let go. Wait, I'll be a pumpkin for you. What is it?
That's exactly it.
Oh, that's great!
It's a Halloween thing.
Awesome. How did you guys like?
Wait, why did you, Jack? You started laughing.
Yeah, why did you laugh, Jack?
It sounds. We were such serious boys, weren't we?
It's a lot better now.
We were trying really hard, but now we don't try hard, and it's much better.
Yeah, live.
It's more fun when you're not trying too hard.
Oh God, yeah, it's much more fun now than it was then.
What was it like making videos then back then?
Hilarious.
Did you have any input, or did they just say, hey, here's what we think the song's about?
It varied.
Do this.
Varied. The video for Don't Let Go is, we had no input into that, really. I mean, I like driving that big Mercedes car around it, But things like, Every Day of Fun Tonight, we had quite a lot of input on
that. Oh, yeah.
And,
that's, of course, Godly and Cream.
Yeah.
Premiere video.
Yeah, very famous video director. Yeah.
Did it take for a damn ever? It looked like it might have been like one of those Peter Gabriel situations where you're there for...
It took them forever.
Yeah. For us.
And we just really shot it over and over again, in one day. But
So you just kept doing the same thing over and over and over, and then they would put the effect on it.
Yeah. So it was them who did all the hard work.
They literally, because in those days there was no digital editing. So they literally, some poor guy was in the studio just cutting up. So the thing with doing that video was to stand as still as possible, not smile.
Right? Never smile.
Yes. And of course, by standing still, you're fractionally different, and that's what creates the stroboscopic.
And I would say if there's a list of iconic videos from the 80s, that would have to be
Definitely. Right up there,
like we said, with Peter Gabriel's.
Yes. Well, that was the inspiration, actually, the sledgehammer thing we loved a lot,
So good.
Although it got banned in the UK.
Because
the auntie BBC decided that it could induce epilepsy in epileptics.
Were there any confirmed incidents of that?
No, not one.
So did you have to shoot an alternative video for the UK, or did you just say
we tried? We sort of went into the studio and did an edit where it was much slower cuts, but it was just rubbish.
So that's terrible.
We didn't use that.
Little known fact: the original title of the song "Everybody Have a Seizure Tonight." But now there's so many rock songs, urging you to have fun tonight. Who had the inspiration to rhyme that with Wang Chung tonight? Because that launched it into immortality. Not just the song, but you guys, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put your name out there.
It was an ad-lib. I can't claim inspiration for it, really. It was just...
The hand of God came in.
The hand of God, Jack singing Everybody Wang Chung Tonight.
That's so great.
That would be like... Nowadays, Donald Trump would say, it's all about branding. You got to put Wang Chung in a song title.
There was I think with our producer, because the original demo for Everybody Have Fun Tonight was quite slow and sort of like Hey Jude, really. It was that sort of tempo, and my sense of it was that it was always going to be a sort of ironic song.
Oh, okay.
How can you have fun in this terrible world? But when Peter heard it, Peter Wolf, who was producing, he was like, "Oh man, everybody found that. Everybody Wang Chung, and that's the chorus." And
not the Jay Giles guy.
Not the guy. There's another Peter Wolf.
Frank Zappa one.
Yeah, he worked in Frank's band, and Peter's a great musician, but he does. I have no shame.
Well, you can't argue with what works.
Absolutely. No, I mean, thank God we did it like that,
Thank God we haven't got any shame.
So we're kind of bouncing around, but that's okay. We can do that. A year before the Mosaic album came out with Everybody Have Fun Tonight, You guys get hired to do the soundtrack for William Friedkin's To Live and Die in L.A. How does that happen? How do you get the call for that? Who decides that you guys are the ones to score this movie?
It was brilliant timing for us because we obviously had some success with Dancehall Days and Points on the Curve.
Right.
And we were under a lot of pressure from the record company to come up with Dancehall Days Part 2, you know. And I think we were struggling a little bit. So it came via the fact that William Friedkin had heard Wait, the track you just played.
Oh, great. That's cool. I'm glad
and
we played
that. He loved that. And I think he sort of approached us to do something inspired by that song, you know.
And the name of the movie was already set.
Yes.
And did he want you to use the name of the movie in the song, or was that your choice? How does that happen?
No, I mean, we had a conversation with him.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because he contacted us directly, essentially, but it didn't come through the record company or any of that usual stuff.
Oh, neat.
So I was with a friend of mine who I hadn't seen since I was at university, and his phone rang in his apartment because there were no mobiles in those days. Mm-hmm. And and this voice sort of said, "Yeah, will you be there in half an hour? Mr. William Friedkin wants to call you." And, you know, so I was like, "Oh, okay," you know. And so we had this conversation, and Billy just talked about what he was doing, about the movie, how he loved Wait, how I want you and your band to go in the studio and just give me an hour's worth of music like that, just jam together. He had no idea that it was me nicking a drum machine. But one thing he did say was, you know, what I don't want is a song called To Live and Die Now.
He did not want that.
He did not want that. Yeah. And initially we didn't supply it to him, you know. Mm. So we did all the instrumental stuff. Okay. We did it in a week. We didn't see the movie before we did the music.
Oh, that's
we didn't
interesting.
See it all. We were in the UK, you know, in London. But with Billy, he's a real creative, very intuitive bloke. And somehow there was the communication. We sort of knew what he wanted, and we did it. Sent it over to him. A week later, got a call saying, "It's amazing. Come and see a sort of rough cut," which we did. And that was one of our best experiences, I think, seeing this preview theatre out on the Paramount lot, watching the first scene of To Live and Die in L.A. as it was then, which is the sort of money counterfeiting scene with City of the Angels playing. Blew my mind completely.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It is great.
It still holds up. And the soundtrack holds up. Again, this past week, you know, getting in touch with my inner Wang Chung, talking to a bunch of friends, and more than a few friends told me, "Hey, man, To Live and Die in L.A. soundtrack, that's still great. That holds up incredibly."
I vividly remember I was a college radio DJ at the time, and you know, every day we'd get like stacks and stacks of records and open up the box and pulling out that cover with that bright orange sunset thing. And you could feel like the temperature in the room.
Yeah,
like,
you can.
It was like smog was descending on you. It was so like you really captured that. I mean, you must have like toured through LA and stuff, but do you feel like I mean, it sounds like it was almost accidental that you like were able to capture what it's like to live in Diana Lake, to be like,
well,
to move.
We were signed to Geffen Records direct, and they had their offices, which were in those days quite a small little office on Sunset Strip. And so we did spend quite a lot of time here. Yeah, and I think it did sort of, you know, I'm not saying we kind of distilled something, but, you know, LA was a very important place. And, you know, even driving here today, do you know what I mean? Along the Ventura Freeway and coming off at Coldwater, you know, I felt quite sort of nostalgic.
I still find it amazing that you guys wrote all the music and then he, without seeing the film, and he was able to work it in seamlessly.
Well, he even cut some of the movie to the music. Mm-hmm. It was sort of
kind of video cutting.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. It was an amazing.
I think that's what gives it. Because when you watch the movie, you know, you think it's like an action movie, which it is in places. Yeah. But the first 20 minutes is actually really pretty static. And you've got these amazing shots of the sort of bits of LA that you never normally see, you know, all the industrial parts and the LA River. And so it's, it's a strange mixture of sort of impressionistic kind of just taking it all in, do you know what I mean? And then suddenly the pace snaps up and, you know, they're driving the wrong way up the freeway or whatever they're doing, you know, sort of
great car chasing.
One of the great modern noirs. And he knows a little something about car chases.
Yes, he does.
French Connection.
Yeah.
And so how did it come to be then? He doesn't want a song that's called To Live and Die in L.A. And eventually he gets that.
Yeah.
And he must have loved it.
Well, after seeing the movie, we came back to the UK, and the song just kind of came out, despite me going, "No, don't write a song, don't write a song." And, you know, Nick and I demoed it, Nick loved it, and we sort of sent it over to him, and Billy loved it, you know. And again, he's that kind of artist in a sense, you know, he's not going to say, "Look, I said..."
but you never know, sometimes crazy directors and movie makers might say that. But
I think the
cool
other thing was that we wanted to, you know, I was telling you about the fact that we had that pressure to do Dance with Days Part 2. So it was a kind of, I think we felt it was an opportunity to maybe sidestep that whole issue. And by writing some songs, we could turn that soundtrack job into our next sort of Wang Chung album.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because
I think that was a kind of motivation to for that song and for other songs too.
Right, because basically a soundtrack for a movie isn't necessarily seen as an official Wang Chung album.
That's
even
right.
Though
no. In fact, kind the, of very much so in the
record
days,
company
actually.
Were quite negative about it in a way. Yeah. It was almost like, well, get this thing out of the way and get on with your pop
right.
career. You know? So well, we sort of forced the issue the other way, you know.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a chance then to take a breather from trying to churn out hits
yeah.
and do this fantastic piece of work. And let's hear the title track from To Live and Die in L.A.
It just captures that era perfectly in that movie, and it's so evocative.
It's pretty cool, that song.
I would
it
say
really brings me back.
This Badly Drawn Boy, About a Boy, Love and Spoonful, What's Up Tiger Lily, and Wang Chung, To Live and Die in L.A., like the best like single band soundtrack albums that I love. Okay. You know, wow.
That's great.
As pieces of work. Very nice.
Thank so you. Then you get to do another song for a soundtrack.
Yeah.
A John Hughes movie. Some little thing called The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of that?
They were worried that they would not be considered 80s enough. So they were looking for a way to find.
But back then, it was like if you were worth your weight, you had to be asked to be on a John Hughes soundtrack.
Yeah.
And so did John Hughes make that call also?
I'm not sure how that worked because that came through the record company. And
okay.
And it was all, although having said that, we were sort of like released from our contract to do that Breakfast Club thing because that was on A&M.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure. Well, Geffen must have been like, Jesus.
Yeah, we already had some. No, I think they were pleased about that one.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're already known by then, so yeah. I think that was just a natural sort of.
Value added attraction. To the, you know. Yeah, for the soundtrack. And now, speaking of being on Geffen, it was you guys, it was Asia. It was a fellow named John Lennon.
Got Elton John.
Elton John, mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Joni was on there as well, Joni.
Joni Mitchell.
Mm. Did you guys ever meet at the Geffen Christmas party or anything?
We all hung out together. Yeah,
yeah, we were all hanging out.
But yeah, back then, Geffen, that was a big deal, Geffen Records.
Mm. It's a very interesting label.
Yeah. Mm.
And they were very kind of, you know, loads of experience, the guys that were working there. You know, it was sort of like a super group label, if you know what I mean. Not the groups, but the people running it, you know, really handpicked people. They were great.
Actually, it was David Geffen who sort of suggested us to change the spelling of what it was. It was H-U-A-N-G, as you know, the first album.
Hoing.
And everyone was sort of mispronouncing it. And we were really so fed up with that that we were like, when we signed to Geffen, we just wanted to change the name completely. And David Geffen said, no, don't. It's really good. Oh. Why don't you spell it with a W? Okay.
That's a visionary. Yeah, have you seen that Eagles documentary?
Yeah,
he's. I love him in that. He's really.
Yeah,
he was very good.
He's a businessman.
Yes.
The song "Fire in the Twilight" from Breakfast Club. Did you guys write that specifically, or was it just a song you had around and they go, "Oh, we'll take that one"?
It was more of a co-write, really, with the people who were sort of organizing the music generally. You
okay.
Know? So I think that was part of the deal. Do you know what I mean? That they, you know, would come in. That they had the sort of beginnings of that song.
Yeah.
And, It was Keith Forsey, basically, was doing the soundtrack.
Who produced the Billy Idol albums
That's
and stuff.
Right.
And he's a drummer and a producer and he's, you know, he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
And he loves Simple Minds and loved Wang Chung. And
right.
I think he was the one that sort of pulled all the music together.
All right, cool.
And chose all the acts and stuff.
Is that hard for you guys to write with an outside writer after when you guys write with each other all the time?
Interesting, I think, actually. You know, I remember sort of feeling...
And that's a nice way
to put it. Isn't it? Yeah. No, I do remember there were things about it that I thought, this isn't quite us somehow. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit rocked out and stuff. And I did rewrite all the lyrics to those ridiculous lyrics that the song has.
And we put in that section, that sort of slightly sort of spacey kind of section.
Yeah, yeah.
That made it a little bit more Wang Chung-y.
More quirky. Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of it. I don't know if we're going to hear the spacey section or not, but let's hear a song the guys seem to not like.
I'll tell you. This is the spacey bit.
Okay.
Now that's, isn't that during the dance montage in that movie, I think? I can't
Boy,
remember.
It's been so long since I saw Breakfast Club.
They're
running down the corridor,
right.
I think, that bit.
You guys are bopping around a lot to that. This might be something to put in the set list.
That was it.
Okay, great. Yeah. Oh, all right.
That's the thing. You do it live, and I really enjoy playing it live now. It has an extra spacey bit in it live.
Yeah, it does. It goes all prog in the middle. Yeah.
Have you already played your LA shows, or are you on your way out of town? Or?
Yeah, we played them, yeah.
Well, we have one more.
We've got one more, actually.
Down in Bellflower.
Oh, okay.
Of the New Wave Club. This coming Friday.
Well, I got to tell you what. Well, you're in LA right now. We could hear a song live right now.
Oh, yeah. We've been gabbing.
Yeah, we could pretend that this is a little mini tour date right here. And
some guitars.
There's some acoustic guitars back there. What would you guys like to favor us with?
What should we do?
Anything you want.
God, I don't know. I was just enjoying talking.
Yeah. We have to play. We have to ruin it all by playing.
We can chat some more if
we
you want to play
later.
We can
chat some more and close it out with a song.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Should we do Space Junk?
Yeah, we could do Space Junk. We're in that sort of spacey
okay.
nice.
Vibe. Yeah.
We'll
yeah.
hear Space Junk.
Space Junk from The Walking Dead.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. People love that.
So let's move on talking about the Mosaic album.
Okay, and then we'll close it out. Yeah, with
oh, wait, were they going to play right now?
I don't know.
What was going to happen? I'm not sure. I'm confused.
Who's running this show?
I don't know right now.
What's happening?
Usually Gary and I do, but now I don't know.
We need a bit of an executive decision.
Do you guys want to play right now? We want to play a song right now and then play another one at the end?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, excellent.
Singing.
Okay.
Welcome to me.
By the Beetlejuice Hotel, mapping out constellations of the space I know so well, sifting through the systems for the space in my name. Endlessly I list them in the master game. Welcome to my world.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to my only world.
Welcome to my only world.
My head is full of space junk. Words are getting through. I'm riding on the space junk. It's bringing me to you. It's bringing me to you. Through the tenth dimension to the certainties beyond. Millennia tension and the subatomic bomb. The machine that spins within me and the spirit that drives me on. Searching for the answer. Welcome to my world.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to my only world.
Welcome to my only world.
My head is full of space junk. But your words are getting through.
riding on the space junk. It's bringing me to you. It's bringing me to you. Yeah, yeah. It's bringing me to you. Whoa. My head is full of space junk. What am I to do? I'm riding on the space junk. It's bringing me to you. My head is full of space junk. And the words are getting through. I'm riding on the space junk.
That sounded incredible.
Sounded really cool. You guys.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And you know what? You guys did that for us. So what we're going to do for you is we're going to play a song from Taser Up.
Yay!
The new Wang Chung album.
Now you're talking.
Let's drop in to, let's hear a little bit of Driving You.
Cool.
How are the new songs going down live with the crowds? Are they willing to accept really new music?
They do really great. Actually.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I think the general sense is that, you know, the old stuff, the new stuff, it all really
just
blends
all melts
well together.
That's great.
Yeah. So there's no sense of people kind of going off to the bathroom.
Good. Yeah. Because when I'm at a show and that happens, I'm really like, come on, man.
Yeah.
These guys are still making music.
People actually sort of, you know, make a point of telling us. Which is really nice. Mm. It's not like they're sort of suffering it in silence.
Right.
But actually, like it, you know.
That's good.
It's good.
That's
sounds
a good.
Sounds good.
Thing.
It reminds me a lot. Have you heard of this group called Granddaddy out of California?
Yes, Granddaddy. Yeah,
it reminds me kind of that, like with the synth and the organic folky almost thing. But you know, less English, more California twangy. Inside, yeah. But very very cool analogous
band.
To the
A band called The Fix had a brand new album out this year, I love it. And when I heard Taser Up, I was like, wow, I love this too. I mean, it still sounds like you, but in 2012, 2013, 2014. Yeah.
We did
present.
A bit of touring with The Fix earlier on, actually. Okay. We were doing gigs with them, and it was interesting and good from that point of view. You know, I think both the crowds that came to see us both were willing to sort of accept the new and the old. And
that's good.
I think we're both bands that are trying to sort of do something with our sort of legacy, if you know what I mean, but trying to do something new as well. You know,
and now, with both of you guys were kind of more bigger in America, weren't
right.
you?
Right.
Yeah. Very much so. Sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And Cy Kernan has made a deal with the devil, right? That's why he looks like he hasn't aged at all. What's with that guy?
Well,
I tried to find the right lawyer to do that ourselves.
Professional courtesy. Well, something we love to do here on Rock Solid is we love to have a quiz.
Yes.
So now, Pat and Matt, you guys can play. You could go to Wang Chung will be like your phone of friends.
Oh, okay. Like if I need help, I can use. I'll use Nick, and you can use Jack.
Okay, great.
So I am. Those are good teams. I'm going to read you. I'm going to read you a quote, and these are quotes. They're either going to be Wang Chung lyrics.
Okay.
It's either going to be by the wedding dress designer Vera Wang, by the journalist Connie Chung,
okay,
or by the first century Chinese philosopher Wang Chong, who was an actual guy. So this game is called Wang Chung.
Now, just so you know, Jack and Nick, Matt and I are as surprised as you are point, because we never know what Gary's going to come up with. Okay. So here we go.
Can you make it more complicated?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It couldn't be simpler. Wang Chung. Okay. So, first one.
We're just yelling out.
Matt, this one will be for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. When Maury and I decided to have a baby, we took a very aggressive approach.
That's got to be Connie Chung.
So, Chung. Exactly. Okay. 1 point for Team Matt and Nick. Okay.
Well, that was a piece of cake. I'm nervous now.
Believe, do, and share in what is true.
Oh, come on.
Connie Chung?
That's Wang Chung?
That's Wang Chung.
That's actually Wang Chung from Dance All Day.
There you go.
We just heard it.
Hey, don't yell at me. He wrote it and he didn't know.
You got misled by your teammate.
No.
Matt, when I design a wedding dress with a bustle, it has to be one a bride can dance in.
I have to assume it's Vera Wang.
Right.
That's Vera Wang.
You guys,
you guys don't design dresses on the side.
I've not heard about it. Wedding dresses and appropriate perfume.
Okay, three more. Pat, you can still catch up.
No, I doubt it.
On the platform, I saw your hat form a kind of halo in the crowd.
That's Wang Chung.
From, well, yeah, Don't Let Go. Very good. That's right. That. Matt, heaven has neither mouth nor eyes, nor arms or legs.
Oh, I'm going to go the philosopher.
That's, right, Wang Chung.
That's Wang Chung.
Very, very good.
Help me, Nick.
That's a good line. That's
better than that. That's a right song called
that. Yeah, take that. You guys should steal that.
Yeah.
I like it.
On the edge of oblivion, all the world is Babylon, and all the love in everyone, a ship of fools sailing it. Is correct.
Yes.
Remember to have fun. And Matt, last one for you, bonus one. Dave's not here, man.
Oh, that's from Fast Times.
No, that's Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong. Okay. I always mess that up.
All right, so I think so. Matt wins again. Thank you guys for playing along.
Okay, now we've I don't want to say what I was going to say doesn't sound right. What I was going to say, we put it off as long as we could, but now we have to move to the album. And the song.
Oh, Mosaic. Yeah, we talked a little bit about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I think we put in some context now that these guys are not just that song.
Right.
They got a whole thing.
Because that's like, other guests we've had on that, a lot of times you're defined by one or two songs. And Gary and I don't like that. We like to introduce people to the whole world of the artist.
The oeuvre
catalog. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I like
so, that. So the Mosaic album, 86, mm-hmm. This is the album now that Geffen has been wanting you to do. You did your To Live and Die in L.A., you did a Breakfast Club thing, but this is what they were really clamoring for you guys to do, and you hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Everybody Have Fun Tonight, and Let's Go, and Hypnotize Me, and let's hear Everybody Have Fun Tonight. I'm having fun today.
Come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drive a million miles to be with you tonight. So if you're feeling low, turn up your radio. The ones we use are strong. They make reality. But now the music's on. Well, baby, dance with me.
And that song is being used right now in promos for a new sitcom here in America called The Goldbergs.
Starring Wendy McClendon Covey, fan of the show.
And Jeff Garlin.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you guys have any say when people want to use a song like this? Do they
hold on. Matt's
you?
Having a seizure. I got to put a...
shouldn't have looked at the screen.
<Damn it. laughs> Yeah, we say yes.
You say yes. Oh, of course.
That's it. That's our
do you guys want to use it?
It's our new theme song.
Now, was there... do any versions exist of the more forlorn... ironic version, like the one that...
So yeah. Now, if you check out our greatest hits album.
Oh, from 97?
One of them.
Where you find Space Junk.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's on that album.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah. And I want to ask about the cover of the album. Jack's on the cover. Is that true to say? He's on the front and you're on the back?
Side, yeah.
Or can you decide which is the front and which is
on the first CD run, Jack was on the front and my eye was on the back.
Oh, no.
Someone messed up and maybe they got it right. I don't know.
So does that that's okay with you that Jack's on the cover?
No, I don't mind Jack being on the front, being on the back. We're sort of, you can have it either way around.
So, like,
you
know, if the Knick fans can be like, well, I'm going to turn it this way.
Yeah, they turn it around. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know why they talk like that. Knick fans. I like Knick better than Jack.
Now, of course,
I will talk about that cover
sure,
if you
sure,
want me to.
Please.
Yeah, please do,
Because I do remember at the time that there was a sort of, we had Everybody Have Fun Tonight, clearly a potential hit record.
Right.
You know, and they wanted to have our faces on the front. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to call the album Mosaic because... You know, as always with us, we're dipping into different genres and all that stuff. And we wanted to have an abstract kind of cover from, I won't bore you with where we were going to take it from, but it was this stuff in Barcelona, a sort of...
Yeah.
And there were lots of fights about it. And this kind of cover that we ended up with was a sort of compromise, of horrendous proportions. So that's the story of the
cover. Well, if I could comment on the cover. If I had one thing to say about the cover, I would say, I like the Knick side better.
What's funny is that now that everything's digital, it just looks like a really low resolution because it is a mosaic of your face. Yes. But it's like, what is wrong with it? The font looks okay, but the picture's all good.
It should have been called crap mosaic.
So after having the palate cleanser of To Live and Die in L.A.,
yes.
Did you guys find it then take a deep breath? And was it a little easier to come up with some more pop-oriented tunes then?
Yeah, it was, very much so. Yeah.
Nice.
It was
it really
question
did the job, didn't it?
Sort of letting go a bit, wasn't it? You know, not being so kind of, it's got to be like this.
Thank you, William Friedkin.
And in fact, Everybody Have Fun Tonight, having sort of done that sort of Hey Jude, slow early years version,
right.
When we actually got in the studio, that's when we sort of knocked it into the shape you all know and hopefully love.
Yes. Now, well,
soundtrack of every party.
For us, that was quite spontaneous.
Oh, that's cool.
In fact, I met Bob. I know Jack doesn't necessarily agree with this, but I remember we were recording in Vienna, I think it was in Austria, and our manager was sort of due to come over and hear our progress, And we were doing this track, and I was thinking, this is either the biggest load of crap we've ever done, or it's brilliant. I didn't know which. But when David arrived, he just went completely ballistic.
Oh, that's great.
It,
so. Oh, that's cool. Well, time has proven that you were wrong.
Half wrong.
Maybe half wrong. Let's listen to, let's hear another song from the album. Let's hear Hypnotize Me.
Your white light in my
I'm looking at Jack's picture on the front of Mosaic, and if they were making the Anne Rice movie Interview with a Vampire back then, you might have been Lestat. You look like you're ready to bite me right in the neck when I'm looking at this cover.
I should have got auditioned for that. At least.
So you had Everybody Have Fun Tonight went to number 2 on the U.S. pop, and then Let's Go also went to number 2. Pretty great feat, because in the 80s, tons of people on the charts in the 80s. It it's never an easy feat to get that high in the charts. But I mean, when you have like Springsteen, Madonna, Prince, Michael Jackson, all these people in
there. People still buying records back then.
Yeah, people still buying records back then.
Good old days,
I know. Record stores, vinyl.
Those are the days.
Say that word, vinyl.
So how long are you guys on the road with Mosaic? Just forever, probably.
Yeah,
it was pretty long. I think we did about a 6-month tour. I think we were pretty insane by the end of it.
I think longer, actually. It was like 9 months away from home almost, wasn't it? Because we went to Australia and did stuff there.
And headlining at that point.
Yeah, although the bulk of the tour in the States was with Tina Turner.
Actually. Wow.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, and... Yeah, that was exciting.
What's that like to watch her work night after night?
Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
She is amazing.
We played, played Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a bit of a vibe.
Yeah. Better than fine.
English boys.
There's a name for an album, Better Than Fine.
A bit of a vibe.
So then Mosaic, you guys are, it's time to go back in the studio. You go back in again with Peter Wolf.
Yep.
Producing, and you do an album called The Warmer Side of Cool. And then... Here's what I can't understand about when you come off of such, and this happens with so many artists, you come off of this gigantic album. Mm. Everyone is in Wang Chung's corner. And then your next album comes out, and what
happened?
Who drops the ball on that? You guys did your job.
Yeah.
Is it record company? Is it, how does it work?
Well, I think there's a bit of a gap, I think, wasn't there, between Mosaic and...
I think I have 86 and then 89. So there's a three... Yeah. But you guys are still working during that period. You're out there.
And that album took quite a long time to make. Yeah. I think, basically, there's always a sort of pendulum swing, I think. So the pendulum had swung quite a long way into, Wang Chung Party Band, And I think Geffen were kind of like, okay, so you've had your success with that. Now you've got to... replicated. I mean, it's like marketing, isn't it? You've made a kind of Twinkie bar.
Right.
Now you're going to make another one.
And
it's no good making a Caesar salad.
Right.
Although it probably would be more tasty. Yeah.
And as an artist, that's the last thing you want to do is Mosaic 2 or a cookie cutter of what you've just done.
We've just never been able to do it. For better or for worse, we move on to the next thing. I don't know what it is.
And
it's
first,
an artist thing or what it is. But.
And the first couple of tracks on Warmer Side of Cool sound a little heavier. A little chunkier.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Praying to a New God. Listen to that.
What got into you? Got into me too. What came over you is coming over me. I've had enough of all the old stuff. I saw the writing on the wall on my TV. It's another second coming. Love it or not, yeah. Oh yeah. It's another second coming. Like it or not, you better stop praying to a new God. Stop praying, praying to a new God.
I think in those days, your first single was really crucial. If it sort of reacted well, then you'd be onto a winner. And if it didn't, then things are going to be more of a struggle.
Uh-huh.
And that song called Praying to a New God, I think the Bible Belt stations were like, thought we were exhorting people to sort of, renounce Jesus. And
they were burning Wang Chung records.
Exactly. it just got banned, that really stalled the progress.
Because that's a great song.
It's a very cool song.
That's to me, is right up there with the other Wang Chung hits. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Bible Belt. Who do I need to call? Put me in a time machine.
Gold.
Everybody's fun.
Let's listen to track two. What's So Bad About Feeling Good? There's that guitar.
Yeah. We were into guitars.
Yeah.
Got myself a Les Paul
sound of the guitar.
a good first single.
Yeah.
Totally.
Does the warmer side of cool get some play in the live set right now, too?
No, we don't do anything from that.
We've been thinking about doing Praying to a New God, haven't we?
Yeah, and maybe Snake Dance as well.
Yeah, Snake Dance, yeah.
We're up against a little bit time-wise, but I didn't want to let you guys go without talking about your triumphant appearance on Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Right.
When you covered the Nelly Hot in Here song. How did that happen? Did they give you some choices, or that's our jam, we got to do that?
Well, there was a list of about 8 songs, I think. And I remember Toxic by Britney Spears was one, which we were into, but I think that got taken by
someone.
And I phoned up Chris Hughes, actually, who's produced Dance All Day, and I've, you know, still a great friend, and read him through the list, and he just said, Hot in Here. I was like, are you crazy? But I thought, well, if Chris thinks that, then let's do it.
We'll have the webmaster, Jason, put that on our site so people can see that.
Yeah. And then I wanted to ask, so after Warmer Side of Cool, what does Wang Chung do? As far as recorded material, there's a pretty big gap.
Yeah.
What do you guys, do you guys still tour? Are you still writing?
Well, we took about 20 years off.
Really? What did you guys do during that? I always want to know what musicians do when
we did other, we just got into other things, you know. I got a band together with John Moss from Culture Club.
All right,
Promised Land.
Cool.
And we put out some dance records, which were really sort of anthemic, sort of anthems in the UK around the end of the 80s, early 90s. And then I got into A&R. So I worked for Warner Brothers and Sony.
Oh, that's great. Neat.
Anybody that you discovered that we would know?
Bullet. Well, I worked in lots of different bands, but I suppose the biggest signing was Bullet from My Valentine.
That's a
metal band, from Wales.
And then when do you guys decide to put the Wang Chung train back on the tracks?
Well, it was around the time of Hit Me Baby, in a sense, because Nick by then was tired of working for record labels.
Yeah, I was.
and I was tired of whatever I was doing. So we had the time, basically, and the headspace. Because, you know, although you sort of think, oh, Wang Chung, well, you just sort of get back together and you start playing, and it actually requires a bit of effort and concentration and stuff. You know? So we've been piecing it back together over the last 4 or 5 years.
But you guys were still in contact with each other as friends the whole time.
We associated a lot. You know, Jack, I'd get Jack in to produce some artists and write with them and stuff. So we'd be working together in a different way.
Uh-huh. Nice. All right, that's cool. That's always like, you know, David Bowie just had 10 years between albums. It's like, what did Bowie do? I assume he's living in a castle.
And gardening, probably.
And also drinking from the Fountain of Youth, like Cy Kernan. Well, let's hear some more before. I want to hear another song live because you guys sounded so great.
Yeah, would you mind playing giving us one more before you go?
And then we'll play out with some more Taser Up.
That'd be great.
Cool. Right? Good.
So what would you guys like to play?
What should we do, Jack?
Dance All Days?
Ooh, I would love to hear Dance All Days.
Awesome. Yeah. It's possible to sing that at this time.
Yeah, it's rather early for rock stars.
It is, yeah. Everybody have fun tonight. It's a little hard.
I like that you're willing to do it. I'm like, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Pirates.
That's what our tour manager introduced. Pirates. When we're all wimping out about doing something.
One of them is a lefty.
They go righty.
One's a righty. Yeah. Yeah,
that works out nicely.
Beatles, it works nicely. Yeah, for our configuration here,
it's
the tight space.
About all we can do.
I know.
For those fans at home, it's Nick is the lefty.
Right,
the southpaw, the cack-handed bastard.
Good. Righto then. 1, 2, 3, 4. Take your baby by the hand and make it do a handstand. Take your baby by the heel and do the next thing that you feel. We were so in phase in our dance hall days. We were cool. When I, you, and everyone we knew could believe, do, and share in what was true. Oh, I said, dance all day, love. We'll take your baby by the hair
pull her close and there. I'll take your baby by the ears. I'll play upon her darkest fears. We were so in phase in a dance hall days. We were good on craze. When I, you, and everyone we knew could believe, do, and share in what was true. Oh, I said, dance all days, love. Dance all days. Dance all days, love. Take your baby by the wrist. And in her mouth an amethyst. And in her eyes two sapphires blue. And you need her, she needs you. And you need her, and she needs you. And you need her, and she needs you. And you need her, and she needs you. And you need her. So in phase in a dance hall days, we were good on craze. When I, you, and everyone we knew would believe, do, and share in what was true. Oh, I said, dance all days, love.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Thank you.
Nick, great scatting on that.
They called me the scat man.
Awesome. Oh, so fun. What a pleasure to
yeah,
to
thank you so
guys.
Much, guys.
Get to know you as, you know, the faces behind the voices behind the music.
Taser Up is on yes. iTunes. We're going to play out with Driving You. How about that?
Yes. Follow us on Facebook, 330-81-ROCKS. Call up with some suggestions. You guys, I know Wang Chung Band on Facebook. Any other place
right, yeah.
That they can?
Wang Chung Band on Twitter.
On
well.
Twitter.
Okay, great.
Well.
Yeah, follow, yeah. Like them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter.
Yeah.
Buy Taser Up.
Yes, it's so
yes.
good.
And let's hear a little. And thank you, Jack and Nick, once again. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thank you to our little audience sitting in. And let's hear Driving You on Rock Solid.